Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. I'm going to invite us this morning to open our Bibles. So if you have your Bibles with you, wonderful, grab those right now. If you have your phone and have the app on your phone, pull that out. Or at home, if you have your Bibles, grab that or open up another tab on the web browser. If you don't have your own Bible to bring, let me know. We'll get you one. We want to make sure everyone has access to a copy of God's Word. We're going to study it together today from the book of Micah. Micah is found in that run of books of the minor prophets near the end of the Old Testament. So if you're in a book like Jonah, keep going a little bit to the right to Micah. If you hit Nahum or Habakkuk, then you've got to back up. Kind of a little play on words there, just a little bit. Oh, you like that. That was good. That just came to me in that moment. I had never said that before, so no, just. But we're going to look at Micah chapter 5, start in verse 1. So this will be our scripture passage today. And as you walked in this morning, if you're new with us, let me just give you a little update where we're at. If you're familiar here at Westview, you know that things look a little different here, a little darker here. We've signified this season that we're in called Advent. Advent is this wonderful season. It's a season of expectation. It's a season of anticipation. But it's also a season in which we recognize and we name reality that there is darkness. But in Advent, we say, yes, there's darkness. But God has made a promise. God has made a promise to renew and to restore. And so we live with anticipation, and we live with expectation. We live with longing and yearning for God's promises to come. And we're claiming in this season of Advent that light, the light of Jesus Christ that shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. One of the things we're doing here to signify this tangibly is we've made our entire back wall our Advent wreath. And we are doing that so that this idea of light shining in the darkness would be even more pronounced. And along with the Advent, lighting of the Advent wreath, we know that with every candle, every light of the wreath comes with a biblical truth. Last week we talked about this idea of a light that brings hope. We talked about this idea of hope. And this morning you heard earlier from Callie and Young Yi as they read that we're talking about this idea of light that comes from faith. And so what we have before us every Sunday is a scripture passage that's going to relate to this biblical truth. And so we're going to tie all of this together, we hope. Darkness, light, Advent, and scripture. And we trust that God is going to do a good work in and through us again today as we study his holy word. And so for that, let's pray and dive right in. So would you please pray with me? God, we are living in this moment, in this season of Advent. It's a season of expectation. It's a season of anticipation. And God, I just want to name this morning that of all the different things over this past week and of all the different things of this past morning, these past few moments, God, we know that there's been a lot of curveballs thrown in and a lot of things that have gone on. And we know that Satan is seeking to thwart good work that you are seeking to do here and across your world. So God, we are living with anticipation this morning. We're living with expectation of what you're going to do in and through us as we study your holy word. And God, no matter who we are and no matter where we're at and no matter what we're coming into this place or logging on online with or whatever the situation is in our own heart and our soul, we pray, Lord, that you would have a word for us today. That you would speak clearly to us. And God, give us ears to listen and hearts to receive. Whatever it is you have for us this day, we lift this time to you. May it be so by the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Listen with me to these words from the book that we love, Micah, chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Marshal your troops, O city of troops, for a siege is laid against us. They will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, Though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace. Amen. There's a young boy who lives in our neighborhood, and he's small for his age. And he also has one of those summer birthdays, and the parents chose to send him instead of keep him. So he's not only small, but he's also a full year younger than some of his classmates and his peers. He's not the most athletic of kids, but he tries to join right in. When all the plethora of other kids his age come to our yard and want to play football in our side yard, he wants to jump right in. And it really doesn't take even the most casual observers to notice that he's not quite as gifted as the rest. And on top of that, he still speaks with that kind of that little kiddish way of speaking. He talks like this a little bit. You know what I'm talking about? Well, probably about a month or so ago, a bunch of boys had gathered together in our yard, and they were picking teams, and I was out there playing with them, as I will sometimes do, and this little guy, he ended up on my team. Great, no problem. And so we were walking back to kind of our end for the opening kickoff of the game, and he kind of runs in front of me, and I'm almost tripping over him, and he looks up at me, and he says to me with all seriousness, he says, "In order to win this game, all we have to do is believe." Did you catch that? And I looked at him like, what? Because, you know, I coached a little football. I'm not a football coach. When I coach football, flag football for the kindergarten kids, right? Like, I'm not a football coach. But I do know a little something about football. Like, you need to throw, and you need to catch, and you need to tackle, and you need to know the ins and the outs of the game. And so he said this to me, and I kind of looked at him a little quizzically, and I was kind of looking at him like, what are you talking about? And he dropped the line again. He said, "In order for us to win this game, all we have to do is believe." All you have to do is believe. We can substitute the word faith there as well for believe, because both in the Hebrew and in the Greek, it's the same word, the same Hebrew word and the same Greek word. Sometimes it's translated believe, sometimes it's translated faith. And so we can say, all you have to do is believe, or all you have to have is faith. All you have to do is believe. Have you ever had that statement said to you? I'm honestly a little nervous to ask that question, because I know that far too often that line has been shared with people in a way that's hurtful, in a way that's shaming. That when we're going through a difficult situation, when we're going through a difficult circumstance, and things are hard, and it feels like a struggle is all around us, and then it's always someone who seems to always have life all together, right? They come up to you, and they kind of confidently, maybe even a little cocky, they say, "Well, you just have to believe. Just have to have a little faith." You ever have that said to you in that way? If so, I'm sorry. And my purpose this morning is not to trudge up hurtful or painful memories. My focus is this. I want to consider that phrase when it's used in a positive way, used in a way of encouragement, in a way that is affirming. I hope that we've had that experience as well, where someone said, "You just believe, have faith." Because it's in those moments when we're struggling and we hear those words, "just believe," it's sometimes those moments that faith then kind of holds things together. It's those moments then that we say there's faith that keeps our light burning. You know, I hear that phrase, just need to believe. And I'm instantly transported back to Northwestern College. It's my senior year. And I'm sitting in my advisor's office, struggling, coming apart. I looked it up. I think it was a couple of years ago where I shared with you, Westview, that in college there's a little back and forth between myself and another professor. I was struggling with a little bit of his, what I called theological and theological teachings that were a little sketchy, right? And I was kind of doing a little theological battle with him back and forth. And in fact, a couple years later, after I was gone, he was dismissed from the college. Not because of anything I did. There was some other stuff going on. But there was a back and forth happening there. And in this moment that I'm thinking of this morning, I was sitting in my advisor's office because I was struggling. I was having a little bit of a crisis of faith. It was during a time back and forth with that other professor where I felt like every truth that I had been taught, every truth that I was holding on to was being challenged and was being ripped to shreds. And I was weary, and I was feeling as if I was the only one in all the world who believed what I considered to be biblical truth, what I considered to be reformed of faith, what I considered to be things that I had been taught and held on to and knew since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. And then I was sitting in my office, and I was coming apart. And I was sharing with my advisor, I was sharing with him how I was feeling like I was the only one. I was the only one who felt this way. I was the only one. I felt alone, and I felt like my light had gone out. And I'll never forget what he said to me. With compassionate wisdom, he said these words. He says, sometimes when it seems like nothing else makes sense, and sometimes when no one is with you, and sometimes when another argument appears to be winning the day, he said, in those moments, you just believe. You just believe. And for a season in my life, those words held my faith together. Now, in a similar and yet very different sense, belief or faith is all that seems to be holding this passage together. The context of this passage isn't pretty. We talked about them twice last week, but we need to mention those big, bad Assyrians yet again, this ruthless nation from the north that has come and laid waste to the northern kingdom of Israel. And now they have set their sights on the southern kingdom of Judah and have destroyed city after city after city until only now the capital city of Jerusalem remains. And we mentioned last week, if you remember, we talked about this idea of this siege that was on its way. Well, now the siege is here. The siege is at hand. You see in verse 1 there how this is a city of troops. Troops are surrounding the city of Jerusalem. The siege is laid against us, and the siege has rendered King Hezekiah powerless. Now, I'm not sure if it's literal. I'm not sure if it's figurative here. Some people go both ways, but the expression here at verse 1 is a telling expression. It says, they will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod. Being slapped around, he's powerless. This is another moment of darkness. And from the midst of this dark moment, a message from Micah. One that, if we look at it close, a message that is hard to believe. It seems so unlikely, nearly unbelievable, because Micah here, he delivers a promise. And not just any promise, but he delivers a promise of a Messiah. Now, you and I, we have to name something this morning. You and I, we are New Testament people. We are looking at this passage here in Micah with the advantage of being on this side of the New Testament. And so we look at this passage and we hear a promise about a Messiah. We're like, hey, that's great. That's wonderful. Celebration. Let's sing some songs. That's wonderful. But what I need us to do this morning is to, as best we can, to remove ourselves out of this context 2,700 years later. And I need us to do our very best to put ourselves in the city of Jerusalem. A ruthless nation has already destroyed our northern cousins. A ruthless nation has destroyed one city after another, and now they have surrounded our capital city here of Jerusalem. They have rendered our leader powerless. They're slapping him around. That is the context here in Micah 5. That's where I need us to put ourselves this morning. And then Micah brings a message. It's a great message. It's a message of hope. It's a good message. But then we hear what the message entails. It's a message about a Messiah, a ruler that is to come. That's great, but this Messiah is going to come from the most unlikely, the most hard to believe of places, from Bethlehem Ephrathah. Right? Jerusalem is the capital city. Jerusalem is this nation's center of commerce, of finances, of religion, of culture. That's Jerusalem. You know what Ephrathah is? Ephrathah is the sticks. It's the rural area. It's flyover country, right? And we live in flyover country. We don't really like that term, do we? Ephrathah is not a place of rulers. Ephrathah is a place of shepherds letting their sheep graze. And Micah says this is where the Messiah is going to come. It seems unlikely. And not only that, but Micah says that this Messiah is going to come from a place of hard-to-believe size, right? Bethlehem. Let's talk about that. Do you remember anything about Bethlehem? If you remember anything about it, remember that it's small. It is real small. Like, if you're driving through Bethlehem at this time, don't blink your eyes. You'll miss it. Small. The word there for small in that passage means trifling. It means insignificant. And again, this is where Messiah is going to come. And not only that, but Micah delivers this message about a Messiah that's going to come, but it comes from hard-to-believe origins, right? This is a little bit of a mental tongue twister here. Hey, stick with me here, right? This Messiah who is going to come is not here yet, but has origins of old from ancient times. Get your mind around that? Hard to believe, hard to understand, seems unlikely. And on top of that, Micah delivers this message about a Messiah that is going to come, but it's going to come from hard-to-believe timing. See, if we have truly put ourselves in Jerusalem in this moment, I know what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping that a promise here has instant impact. I would like this to come through right now, and yet what does verse 3 say? Verse 3 says that Israel will be abandoned, that there's going to come a time where there's going to be no ruler. There's going to come a time where there's oppression and even exile until the time when she who is in labor gives birth. And if we want, we can read Mary into that verse, right? We can do that. But you know what? Mary's not on the scene here in Micah. Mary doesn't show up for another 700 years. And so it's great that there's a promise that a Messiah, a ruler, is going to come. But the location and the size and the origins and the timing of this all, none of it seems ideal. It makes it hard to believe. It seems so unlikely. And that's where faith holds this passage together. The book of Hebrews defines faith in this way. It says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. See, faith is faith because we do not yet see the reality. Faith is faith when things are hard to believe. Faith is faith when things seem unlikely. Faith is faith when all we can do is believe. Micah brings a message here, a good message, a message of good news, and yet it is hard to believe. It seems so unlikely. It begs us to have faith. Faith is what holds this passage together. Faith in unlikely circumstances. Now, believe it or not, we are people who put faith in unlikely circumstances all the time. Do you know that? Let me give you an example or two. We put faith in unlikely situations all the time. You know, when we get on that airplane, we put faith in that pilot who's sitting in the cockpit who we have never met before, nor have we seen their credentials. But we trust they're going to get us up and down in the spot we're going. We put faith in the cleanliness of a pop can that is dispensed from a vending machine. We just pop it open and drink. Kind of gross, isn't it? That's the last time we've done that, right? We have faith that as we're driving down a two-lane road, the person who's coming 60 miles an hour towards us is going to stay separated by just a few feet and two yellow lines. We have faith that the mechanic tightened those lug nuts enough on the new tires that we got. We have faith that the fresh out of college teacher is now going to educate our child well. We have faith that the constructor of these chairs that we're sitting in put them together well enough that they're going to support us, right? We have faith. We have faith that the Amazon delivery person is going to get all those gifts, even if they're stuck in the ocean somewhere, right? They're going to get those gifts to us on time for Christmas, right? We have faith that whoever designed this watch that we're wearing or designed the clock is going to make sure a second is a second and not a second .0001 second so we get behind or ahead, right? I mean, we put faith in all sorts of unlikely situations and all sorts of unlikely circumstances. We could go on and on. We're people who constantly put faith in those things, but we have faith nonetheless. Faith in circumstances and situations where we just believe. I want to name here this morning that there's maybe some of us here today that we are facing this morning difficult circumstances and hard situations. Maybe we're feeling this morning, some of us here today or those joining us online, we're feeling like the cards of life that are being dealt to us are a losing hand. Or that every time we try to follow God and we try to move forward, there's a roadblock in the way or a call that has been put upon our heart and our life and it seems unlikely, it seems hard to believe, it seems impossible. Maybe some of us feel that way this morning. We are in a circumstance or a situation that is hard, or maybe we could even say dark. And that's a hard spot to be in. There's no sugarcoating that this morning. I get it. And it can be hard to press on. It can be hard to keep moving one foot forward. It can be hard to keep the faith. It can be hard when the numbers suggest one thing, when all the experts say give in, when it seems like a fool's errand to keep going. It's hard in those moments. And the only thing that we have left in those moments is to believe. But sometimes the one thing that we have left is the only thing that we need. Sometimes when all that's left is to have faith, it's just faith that we need. That in those moments, it's just enough to believe. I know what I want in those situations. I want faith to be validated. I want faith to have a payoff, right? I'm fine with faith and belief for a little while, but I'm usually pretty quick. If you know anything about me, I'm ready to move on. Let's see it tangibly. Let's see it happen. Let's move on. Let's do faith, but then let's go through it. Let's get beyond it. And I have a timing around that, right? If I'm going through a situation, I'm like, okay, let's have this happen right now, or maybe even yesterday. And you know what? Sometimes that happens. Sometimes, no, not usually, it's not in my timing. But what I found, and maybe what you found as well, is in those circumstances, when it's part of God's timing, when it's a part of God's timing, it's always so much greater. Greater than I could imagine. Greater than I could have hoped for. We go jump back here to this Micah passage. We can't leave this passage here in Micah without acknowledging the second part of the message as well. See, we looked at the first part of the message, and it's a promise to the people. Yes, it's hard to believe. Yes, it's going to take some time and so forth, but there's a message here of this Messiah who's going to come, and faith is truly what holds this passage together because it connects us from the first part that's hard to believe to a second part of the message. And in God's timing of the fulfillment of this promise in the second part, it's an incredible message about who this Messiah is going to be. There's going to be a child that's going to be born. Yes, hundreds of years later. Yes, there's going to be hardship and darkness until then, but this child, this coming Messiah, is going to offer some incredible things to his people. It says that he will stand, and the word there for stand means that he will endure forever. It means everlasting. It says that he will shepherd, right? He's going to be one who provides and cares for his flock. It says that in the strength of the Lord, he's going to shepherd, and in the strength of the Lord, he's going to give security. He's going to allow the people to have to live securely. They're going to have a protection that no one, nothing can snatch them away. And it says that he will bring shalom, right? Verse 5, he will be their peace, shalom, that's wholeness, that's completeness, satisfaction in every way. I love those promises. I love this moment when faith does become sight, when good news of a promised Messiah will come. He's going to stand and he will shepherd. He will offer security and he will bring peace. He will bring that shalom. I love those promises. And what I love for us, you and me here today, what I love is the reality of this. Yes, a few moments ago I said, put yourself in Jerusalem. But the good news for you and me today is that we're here today on this second Sunday of Advent. And we know that this, we can name this morning that Jesus Christ, this is our, he is our Messiah. He is the one that this passage is pointing to. He is a light that shines in the darkness. And that this is what Jesus does for you and me. He brings everlasting protection and provision and peace. This is what Jesus does for us. And you and I, we can claim this today. You and I can have this today, this everlasting provision and protection and peace. You know how? All we have to do is believe. Friends, that's what Jesus offers to us today. No matter who we are, no matter what our circumstance, no matter how dark the road is before us, no matter what our life has been like or is like or will be like, Jesus offers this gift to us. He's our Messiah, our Savior, our Lord. And to receive this good news from Micah about Jesus, to receive this from Jesus, all we have to do is believe. Now, there's something that we need to name yet before we can wrap up this morning. You know, Kat's talking about how long I preach here this morning. I got just a little bit yet, okay? We'll be all right this morning. Got a little bit yet here. Because what I want to do is we need to circle back around to something we said earlier. We need to circle back around that even in the midst of God's promises, and God makes lots of great promises for us, but even in the midst of these promises, there are some times in our life where darkness infiltrates, where the load is heavy, and we are weary and heavy burdened, I think as Angie read earlier for us. And in those moments, we have, you know, each one of us has a light that we bring, we share, we provide. And there's those moments where that light, because of the circumstances and the situations, there's those moments where our light is snuffed out. It's in those situations, and thinking about, you know, the kind of the theme of this message here, about this idea of we just believe, I'm actually reminded of something else another mentor of mine once said. He was talking to a small group of us. It was in seminary, and he was kind of talking about this very topic. He was talking about how in life there's going to be hard moments, there's going to be difficult circumstances, and you're going to feel weary and heavy burdened, and it's going to be dark, and it's going to feel like that light is being snuffed out. And I'll never forget what he said to us. And I think, as I reflected on it this week, as I was thinking about this message and thinking about this story, I think what he shared with me in that moment has so profoundly impacted how much I come to appreciate and affirm just this beauty of Christian community. This is what he said. You know, he was saying, you're going to have those moments where there's hardships, where there's darkness. You're going to have times where your faith is going to be depleted. And it's going to be even hard for you to believe. And he says, that's when you lean upon one another. He said, when your faith is depleted, when you aren't able to believe yourself, you rest in the gift of being part of a faith community. And he said that in those moments, their belief becomes your belief. And their faith can become your faith. And I think about that, and I think about it in the context of this, of our sermon series, right, of a light shining in the darkness, that when my light is snuffed out, when my light is not shining ever so bright, or if it's even out like this, there are others whose lights are shining bright. And if I asked you this week to help me out with something during the sermon, I need you to do what you're going to do right now. So you know who you are, and we're just going to take a minute. I want you just to observe, Westview, what's happening here, and I think we already maybe backed up the camera so at home you can see what's happening as well. See, my light might be out. The circumstances of my life might be such that it's hard for me to believe in this moment. But friends, the power and the value of being a part of a Christian community is that we can lean upon one another. Is that when I'm struggling and I'm going through a difficult circumstance and it's dark for me and my light is not shining ever so bright, there are others whose lights are shining bright. And that when I'm going through those circumstances, when I'm going through those moments where it's dark for me and it's hard for me and my faith is depleted, my faith is not dead. That because of our shared connection and communion with one another through Jesus Christ, we can rest upon the faith of one another. Now, not always, not forever, right? I have to take ownership of my faith at some point. But when we share this blessing of Christian community and a faith community with one another, we can rest upon the faith of each other. And we can be there in those moments where we need one another, that when I need you, you're there for me. And when you need me, I'm there for you. Friends, we were designed for community. We were designed to embrace this world together. And our lights shine brightest when we are helping one another, when we are believing with and for each other, when we have faith with each other, a shared faith through Jesus Christ, that then becomes a light that we carry, a light that we shine, a light that comes from faith. And all we need to do is believe. Amen. If you're holding the candle, you can blow that out now. We're going to spend some time in prayer. So would you please pray with me? God, you are faithful. God, you are true. God, you are loving. And God, you keep your promises and you fulfill your spoken word. And God, we acknowledge that at times the darkness can weigh so heavy. And though it can weigh heavy, your faithfulness in our lives gives us every reason, gives us every chance to believe, to put our faith in you. And so, God, we acknowledge that sometimes we do this so well. And we find that extra measure of persevering belief that allows us to weather those hard times when we're struggling and it's hard to believe and it's dark. But, God, we also name that sometimes it's hard. Sometimes our ability to believe, to just believe, it's depleted. Sometimes then we close in and we shut down and it's hard to go on. And so, God, what an amazing God that you are. That whatever moment we find ourselves in, you meet us right there. You don't shame us in those times where our faith is lacking. You don't shame us in those times where we're struggling to put one foot in front of one another. And instead, God, you circle back again. You remind us again and again of your presence amongst us. God, you send brothers and sisters in Christ to encourage us and support us and pray for us. God, you have your Holy Spirit come and infuse us with what we need to make it through that moment, to make it through the day. God, we give you so much thanks today that you are patient with us. Thank you for encouraging us. Thank you for being a faithful God to us. So this morning, God, we want to pray. We want to pray for ourselves, or we want to pray for loved ones or people we know who are going through those hard moments this morning. Whether it be because of health or loss or jobs or relationships or school or friendships or whatever else the situation might be, where darkness is closing in and we're finding it hard to just believe. We pray for those moments, and we pray for the loved ones facing them. And we pray that when all that's left is to believe, God, would you help them to believe? God, would you also hear our prayer this morning for our community, our community of faith here at Westview, but also our greater community here in this Des Moines area. We pray for all the uncertainties of future and the waves of illness and sickness that continue. We pray that in the midst of all the hustle and bustle of the season, the rush of life and of the season, we pray, God, for patience, and we pray for understanding. We pray for compassion and gentleness would be our way with each other. Lord, we pray for our world as well, that the light that is breaking forth into this world at Christmas, that this would be a light that would shine bright and would overcome all the hate and all the hurt, all the anger, all the discord, and that this coming Messiah would indeed be peace for us all. We pray this in his holy name. Amen. Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.